I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, thousands of Michael Jackson fans gather today at the Staples Center in Los Angeles to remember the King of Pop. To mark the occasion, we've invited some of his fans and Tell Me More listeners to offer their own tributes. That's a little later. But first, they say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. We visit with a diverse group of parents each week for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. Today, we talk about the self-described mom-in-chief, the First Lady, Michelle Obama. She and the First Family are in Moscow today, joining the president's week-long trip abroad. Mrs. Obama first arrived at the White House in January with almost as much fanfare as her husband. Since then, she's opened the doors of the nation's first home to the public, bared her toned arms to the world, and literally gotten her hands dirty, digging a White House garden to encourage kids and families to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables. Her approval ratings have soared, but a recent Washington Post article suggests that's not enough for her. It tells the story behind a shakeup in the First Lady's staff that she hopes will help her do more to support the president's agenda and her own. The author of that article, A First Lady Who Demands Substance, is Lois Romano. She's a political correspondent for The Washington Post, and she's joining us now. Also with us are our regular parenting contributors, Jolene Ivey and Leslie Morgan Steiner. They've both written about Michelle Obama, and they were part of our first panel discussion about the First Lady. Welcome, ladies, moms.
Hey, Michelle.
A pleasure to be here.
Thanks for having me.
Lois, tell us first about the piece and the occasion for the piece, which I think a lot of people in Washington read avidly, was a series of what seemed to be abrupt staff changes that Michelle Obama made. Now, I know this is inside baseball for a lot of people, but this is the business of Washington. So tell us, what changes did she make and why?
Well, her most dramatic change was her chief of staff, and it's very unusual to change your chief of staff in the White House after just 5 months. The woman Michelle hired to replace her is Susan Scheer, and it's very critical for any First Lady to be thought of and treated seriously by the West Wing of the White House in order to get substantive issues to deal with. And she wasn't convinced that her former chief of staff could get her there.
Jolene, the first mom-in-chief panel examining the impact of Michelle Obama when the Obamas first took office, you read an essay called The Ultimate Mocha Mom that was very supportive of Michelle Obama's choice to put her family first. And I just want to mention, of course, you were one of the co-founders of the Mocha Moms, which is a support group for particularly women of color, not exclusively. And so do you now feel that she is kind of turning her back on that concept by her desire to have more substance?
Oh, no, not at all. The issues that she has chosen, you know, military families and work-life balance, they're important issues. And I love the garden at the White House. I'm a big proponent of the whole eat locally, grow locally kind of a thing. And it's great to see the White House being used that way and that she's been inviting people in and making the White House more like everybody's home. I grew up in Washington, D.C. I was one of those little school kids who never gotten to go into the White House. To be invited in and to be hosted by the First Lady is such an amazing symbol, and I like to see that she's doing that.
Leslie, in your essay, How Michelle Obama Passed for White, you said that some of her choices stylistically, the way she positioned herself, were code to white moms, that she's one of them. I want to hear first your assessment of how she's done in her first 6 months in office, because she's serving too. And also, what do you make of her desire for a more substantive role?
Well, I have to say, I am relieved, incredibly relieved, that she is looking for more substance, because I was starting to get a little worried. What I wrote about in The Root and what I saw her do in the campaign is that, you know, she got unfairly stereotyped kind of as an angry black woman. And I think that she had to correct for that by signaling, particularly to white voters, that she was a really safe choice and that her husband is a really safe choice. But I think since she's been in the White House, she's overdone being safe by focusing on extremely tame, non-controversial subjects, which are all fine. Her children growing an organic garden, talking at educational events. It's all fine. But for a woman of such substance to be so constrained by traditional and traditionally white gender roles has been a real disappointment so far. And there's another part of this, too, that I think that I find almost insulting, is that there's an incredible focus on her physical beauty. And I think that she or the people who make decisions about her schedule have really fed this by having her pose for the cover of Vogue and O and People. And it's led to an almost nonsensical obsession with her arm muscles. Her incredible physical stature and beauty is not the most impressive thing about Michelle Obama.
I don't know if, Jolene, you want to take that on, but I think that a lot of African-American women see that very differently because black women have not been held up as symbols of beauty. They've been held up as symbols of sexuality, mm-hmm. but not of beauty.
And especially I think, a brown-skinned woman like she is.
Especially a woman of darker hue. I think it's just... It's very hard for me to describe how important that feels to,
and I can understand
to many
that,
women of
that
color.
As a white woman,
I mean, I've told this story before, but I remember being a little girl and not being able to buy a comb that could adequately address my hair texture.
And I think that is all well and good, but I think that there is so much more to this woman. And I would, fine, she can be a great symbol of black beauty, but I think that she's got to go a lot farther than that, or she's going to risk being put into a category of Jackie Onassis Kennedy or, you know, somebody who is just physical. And she's got a lot more to her.
Lois, what do you think?
I think some of the emphasis on that just has to come with the territory. Hillary posed for the cover of Vogue, too, and no one thought that diminished her intellectual stature. Michelle likes looking good. And it shouldn't have to hurt her. I mean, it shouldn't have to detract from her. And I don't think it does because no one thinks she's not substantive.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jolene Ivey and Leslie Morgan Steiner with Lois Romano of The Washington Post. And we're talking about Michelle Obama's changing role in the White House. Lois, pick up that thread, if you would. When you look at past first ladies, particularly recent past first ladies, I mean, Hillary Clinton was a person who had a vast, you know, professional career behind her. Does Michelle Obama aspire to that kind of heavy-duty policy involvement that Hillary Clinton had, for better or for worse?
I don't think she aspires to make policy. What I take away from her is that she wants to take pieces of her husband's agenda that she's particularly interested in and develop those and put a spotlight on those. She's going to push for health care reform instead of just talking about eating vegetables out of an organic garden. She's going to announce some steps to help military families. What she has told her staff is that the campaign was for talking, and now she wants deliverables. She wants to go to events, and she wants to say, this is what we're doing for you, and this is what needs to be done in the country. She's not going to take on necessarily new issues. She's just going to try to give some weight and push to the ones that she's already been doing.
She has talked also about work-life balance, but we know that those jobs, West Wing, East Wing, are very demanding. Can I ask, how is she trying to be an advocate for it elsewhere?
It's a very, very good question because she, you know, will go to events, you know, even the White House aside, and talk to these groups who clearly, you know, some of the women do not have all the support help that she has. And she'll acknowledge that. And she'll talk about this balance. But most people just don't have that luxury. And in fact, there was a story on the front page of the New York Times recently that the women in the White House have no time for themselves. So that would be something that I think she should do and probably is going to be under a little bit of pressure to do to try to create a situation in the White House where people can have a life.
Where we're speaking now, the first family is on an overseas tour. Lois, as we look over the next couple of months, where are the areas that Michelle Obama is most likely to make an impact?
Well, she's going to be more involved in education, I understand. She's going to be a big proponent on health care reform, and her area is going to be preventive care. And she's going to continue on service and military families.
Jolene?
Well, the thing that I was noticing, I Googled Michelle Obama this morning, and there were about 29 million hits for Michelle Obama. For military families, she had 885,000 hits. But for fashion, she had almost 8 million. So she's going to have to do a lot more to focus on some of her issues to get people's attention off of what brand she's wearing and what issues she's supporting.
It's a shame, though. People ought to be able to do both. I mean, women like to do both. They like to look nice, and they also want to talk about
other
things.
I think I look pretty good today.
Yes, you do. You look very lovely.
Thank you.
Leslie, what about you? What other things would you like to see Michelle Obama
focus on? She can build on the incredible attention that she's drawn to herself and use her great substance to give gifts to the American people that have to do with her intelligence, her wisdom, and her work ethic, not necessarily her biceps. And I think, you know, obviously to me of great importance is the Violence Against Women Act, which is up for renewal next year. And I think if she held one press conference on that subject, it would probably do more than all of the other politicians combined. Symbolically, I would love to see her start a daycare center in the White House in addition to her organic garden, because then I think she could give her staff a little more work family balance where they could visit their young children while they're still at work, and also send a symbol to everybody that children are really important and that you can be a great mom and a great employee even in the same day.
Or dad.
Or dad. Thank you, Jolie.
Okay. Leslie Morgan-Steiner is a regular contributor to our Tell Me More Parenting Roundtable. She's the author of Crazy Love and the editor of Mommy Wars. Jolene Ivey is a state delegate representing Prince George's County, Maryland. She's also a regular Tell Me More Parenting contributor and one of the co-founders of the Mocha Moms. And Lois Romano is a political correspondent for The Washington Post. She joined us from The Washington Post newsroom. Ladies, moms, thank you so much.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you for having us.
If you want to read the piece by Lois Romano in its entirety, we'll have a link on our website, the Tell Me More page at npr.org.